We'll give it a try again, see how long my throat holds out. It's a lingering thing, the throat. And by the way, I learned a great thing, and reminded myself. I went to the walk-in clinic last Sunday over here, and just to check it out, and did whatever. And before he checked anything, the doctor came in. I said, "You don't want to shake my hand?" He said, "Yes, I do." And so we shook hands. I said, "I just gave you whatever germs I might have." And he said, "I got so many germs, you wouldn't care." So what I think the rule of thumb is, to shake a lot of hands, and then you have such an immune system. You're immune to everything. Wow. Anyway, that's a long way around to share that I will not shake hands. Not that I don't like you, but I'm just not going to give you any potential. You can never accuse me that I gave you this Sunday morning more than this, what we're going to do. That's what I don't want you to give any germs. So now, over if you would please, to the Gospel of John and chapter 12. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, thank you very much for caring. Thank you for your word. God, here we are. So deal with us. Honor your wonderful grace and mercy that you've made possible, Lord, by your death, burial, and resurrection. God, that we might honor you, our Heavenly Father, as you intended, to give you the wonderful, wonderful position of being our Heavenly Father, being the lover of our soul, bringing us into your family household as children, as sons. God, that's an awesome thing. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. Now, in our little studies, as we come into John chapter 12, remember we're a few hours away from the Christ going to his death on Calvary's cross. So we're just hours away, as it were. And so now, in the process of that, he's going to bring his last message to the multitude. He's not going to say any more to the multitude after this. So that what he's saying, it's their opportunity, their time. They've had 3 1/3 years to consider, to know, to honor. Now, are they going to take advantage of it or not? This is their last opportunity. They will never have another one like this. Now, and therefore, as we share together, he mentioned in verse 35 in that, then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Lord Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Walk while you have light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. He left them all, disappeared, as it were, in the middle of the crowd, a big Passover crowd and all of that. And only he can do that. Now, having said that, and he hid himself from them. So now, in the process of that, that context, verse 37, but though he had done many miracles before them, yet they believed on him not, not on him. They didn't believe on him. Now, in the light of that, in the light of the fact they didn't believe, they had all the miracles. So John, you're the last living apostle. You're bringing, and you've been three and a half years, say, with him. And you've been watched healings and feedings and by the hundreds, thousands, we don't know. Wow. And God, as you did all of that, sign after sign, miracle after miracle, God, and it's sort of frustrating, isn't it? God, isn't it frustrating to you that you did everything possible? You did so many, 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 many things. John only picks eight miracles or signs, and that's counting throwing them out, cleansing the temple. Otherwise, it's seven. And he picked seven. He picked seven of them. We went through them. He did all the signs and all the works and all the miracles. And they didn't catch it. They didn't want it. They certainly wanted everything, but they didn't want the one thing they needed, which was life. They didn't get that. They didn't want it. So, John, I understand a little bit of frustration, if you had any, as you're writing the account, looking back over yesterday's events. Now, so having said all that, then he's going to go and reference, John is going to reference the reason, why is it that Israel, why is it with so many miracles, so many wonderful, wonderful things, why, like in verse 35 and 36, is the light out? And to move it right to where we are, why is it so dark in Jerusalem? Why is it so dark in Israel right now? Why is that true? Why is it like that? Now, it's dark, awful dark. And going to get darker. Why? Now, God, and here's John. John's frustrated but in the process, he's going to give you the reason. Verse 38. I'll read verse 37, though he had done so many miracles before them in their presence, yet they believed not on him. That, verse 38, the saying of Isaiah the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Now, that's the first statement. And just for the sake of exercise, hold your finger here and go over to Isaiah and 53. Isaiah 53. And you will note that's the lead statement in chapter 53. He's quoting. I'll read Isaiah 53, verse 1 again. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And the light of what? You're looking ahead, Isaiah, and Israel back then isn't believing, no. But they're surely not going to believe when they have the opportunity to be face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. To be able to touch him, to be able to talk to him, God in the flesh. Wow. And they aren't going to believe. They aren't going to believe. And thus, remember Isaiah 53, so you catch the flavor of it. In verse 2, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised. We esteemed him not, etc., etc. You guys totally are going to reject. So here we are reading it, the fulfillment of it in its most the fullest way, having all the miracles and all the signs and all the words, and you don't believe. And that was said years earlier in Isaiah 53. You just don't believe. In other words, no matter what you do, God, you don't seem to reach our heart. Now, why is that? No matter what you do, it seems like other people do things, and they connect, or they connect the dots and understand. Well, why don't you? Why don't we? Now, so John and chapter 12 again. John 12, and picking up, if I may, in verse 38, 12 and 38, in the process, that the saying of Isaiah, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spake, the Lord, who hath believed our report, to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed. Therefore, they could not believe, because on account of that Isaiah said again. Now Isaiah said something. He said something and made it very clear of why they didn't believe. They just didn't want to believe. They just didn't want to do it. And with the many, many signs and many, many wonders all over the place, you just don't, there's nothing God can do that will get your attention, to get you your heart right. Nothing will happen to make it come out right. Now, in verse 39, therefore they could not believe because that Isaiah has said again. Now, Isaiah has said and made it clear in Isaiah 53, in verse 40, is what Isaiah said. Well, what did I... And now remember now, this is going to be quoted. Our Lord is going to use the same expressions of Isaiah in Matthew chapter 13. When you're looking to the end, as you're looking down the corridor in history, we're part of it, going into the tribulation. What are the conditions on planet Earth going to be like? And he quotes Isaiah in Matthew chapter 13. He's going to quote Isaiah. And then Paul, when he finishes the book of Acts, you want to know, well, how's it going to go with the Jews? How's it going to go with the Gentiles? How is the gospel going to be received? And he quotes again Isaiah chapter 6 to tell you why. What is the problem with humans? Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if you would, then over in verse 40, he hath blinded their minds, hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes and understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. They didn't want any of that to happen. Their eyes have been blinded. They can't see. They don't want to see. Now remember now, back up to verse 35, the end of the verse, walk while you have light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Sliding down to verse 40, he hath blinded the mind. In other words, you're rejecting he is the light of the world. You're rejecting the light. And when you reject light, you're left with darkness. You're left with darkness. That's all you've got left. You know that. Turn the light out. And in a dark night, a dark room, and you're dark. And if we could cloud the sky over and block all the stars and everything and the city lights, it would be very dark. Very dark. It would be. Now, so they have blinded, God has blinded their eyes and harden their heart. Now, remember with the blinding, just to remind you, in the process, over to 2 Corinthians in chapter 3. 2 Corinthians and chapter 3. and picking up the thought, chapter 3, verse 14. 3 and 14. Remember the context, verse 14. That their minds, in the light of Moses coming down from the mountain, etc., but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Christ fulfills the Old Testament. Verse 15. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. It's the heart problem, a mind problem, not an eye problem. You can't see because you're blind. You don't believe in your heart. That's the trouble. You need to believe in order to see. Chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, verse 3. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So, God, we want to see. If we don't want to see, that's unbelief, and unbelief opens the door to blindness. We don't want to see that. We don't want to see that. We don't want to hear what you said, Lord. We don't want to see and honor what you did, a miracle, raising of Lazarus. We don't want to honor that. We don't want to honor it. So every time we don't want to honor it, then we don't see. And we reject light. So each time we reject light, it gets darker and darker and easier to reject light. We aren't used to light. Men love light, love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So now, here we are, and the devil goes along and blinds the mind. The minute you don't want to believe, you don't want to receive light to understand. That's what light is given for. I am the light of the world. How am I going to know God apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is light? How am I going to see God without light, without Christ, the infinite, invisible God who's unmeasurable? Everything of all of creation with 2 trillion galaxies is in the middle of God. God, you made it possible to understand who you are, and we reject that. We reject that. So we're going to have God or no gods, our gods of our own making, which we make. They don't do much for us. They never were intended to do much. Are they going to help our cancer? Are they going to help something? No. No, we didn't intend them to. We didn't intend them to. We just have them to protect us. Not to answer our prayers. No. No, what we have them for is to excuse ourselves from God. Because we already have our gods, and therefore we don't need another God. We excuse ourselves from God. Now, back over, if you would, to John chapter 12. And if I may, picking up, please, in verse 40, Isaiah, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart. Hardened their heart. That's what he did. He hardened it. He hardened it, and it just got hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter. And the word harden, it means to make it like a stone. Like a stone. Gets very hard, very hard. Like marble. There's a certain kind of marble that this word reflect of stone. Hardness. Hardness. To make something very hard. To make it hard. Now, hang on to that hardness. You make the heart hard. Well, if your heart is hard, if you have a hard heart, how well does the heart muscle work? If I was going to try to get a stone, I didn't. How well does your heart work when it's very hard? Doesn't your heart have to be flexible? Doesn't it have to go in and out in all kinds of different ways to send blood out and bring blood in, and they, wow, wow. You have to be soft. The trouble is the heart gets hard. And when your heart gets hard, the life-giving blood doesn't flow well, does it? It doesn't flow well. Now, so the hardness that comes in the heart, because of what we do and how we think, and it becomes very, very hard, hardened, like a stone. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, go over with me back over to Isaiah and chapter 6 to see the section itself. Isaiah chapter 6. And you'll note Isaiah is given a wonderful glimpse of God's wonderful person. And sliding over to that which you may be familiar with, verse 8. Also, I heard a voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I, send me." And Isaiah was willing to be his assignment. He was to take whatever assignment God had in mind. Then he said, verse 9, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not." In other words, I want you to understand, here's all the miracles, here's all, I am the way of life, I'm the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am all of these things, I'm telling you all the miracles that no one else can do, I can do them, you know who I am. That was his point. He wanted them to understand. That's why light is given, to understand. But when you reject light, you're left in darkness. And when you're left in darkness, there is no light. There is no light. No. Men love darkness rather than light. That's right. Now, so God, you wanted them to understand? Absolutely. Did they want to understand? No, they didn't want to understand. Therefore, verse 10, "Make the heart of this people fat. Make their ears heavy, hardened. And shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed." They won't turn around. They turn around. The Greek word in John chapter 12, verse 40, to turn your mind around, to change your thinking. You're thinking wrong. Think right. And thus, they didn't want to understand with their heart and convert, and they didn't want to be healed. They didn't want to have a healing. By that I mean to get right, to get mended, to get recovery, to have a health healing. You want to stay sick. You want to stay unhealthy. You want to stay unhealed. No revival, no reception. No way. You don't want to be cured. You don't want to be healthy. No, we don't want to be healthy. You know? So here we are, verse 10, chapter 6 of Isaiah. Now, that is quoted, as we mentioned, chapter 13 of Matthew, John chapter 12, Isaiah chapter 28. Each time, it's going to give you the background, the basis of why people aren't responding to the wonderful person and presence of God. Why aren't they doing it? It's such an obvious, simple thing. Well, how come it's so foreign, alien, is the question. Now, and thus, he would heal them. Now, the hardening of the heart, the heaviness of the ears, shut their eyes, and understanding with their heart. Back over, we don't have to turn there, but if you went back to John 12 and verse 40, they were hardening their heart. That's what they were doing. And they were doing that with gusto. And they didn't understand. They weren't going to understand. They weren't going to change their mind and be converted. They didn't want to really get better. They don't want to get fixed. They don't want to get healed. They don't want to be what... Now, to say it so it'll help you, you were born, each one of you and us, all humans, were born in trespasses and sin. By that I mean we were born spiritually dead. And the people, the 7+ billion of us walking around earth right now, apart from Christ, being saved, are spiritually dead. So we've got 7 billion, using that as a rough figure, we got 7 billion people that are dead. And the graves, the ground is waiting to receive them as they die. They need to have life. What do you need to get healed for? To find something you don't have, which is life. You need life. You're dead. You need life. You need to be healed, healed, helped. Wow. Now, having said that, dear ones, now, you don't want to, that's the heart. The heart gets hard. Over, if you would, please. Over, let's do that a little bit. Over, if you would, please, to Exodus, the book of Exodus. Exodus, chapter 5. Exodus 5, verse 1. And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him? The voice Who should obey? To obey his voice, to let Israel go. I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." So you aren't going to let him go. No, no, I'm not. And over to chapter 6, verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, "Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of the land." Now the word strong is hard, hard, hard. Gets hard. Hang on to that. It'll come together for you. Hard, hard. So, in other words, we may not hit it here. In the process, Pharaoh is going to thrust them out of the land. He isn't going to ask them to leave. He's going to demand that they leave. He's going to throw them out of Egypt. They don't have any choice. He wants them out. Remember, they were reluctant to get out. Now, in the process of that, over, if you would, and chapter 7. All kinds of ways, but just do a little, just to get the flavor of it, because I want you to be able to put it to work. Chapter 7, verse 22. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them as the Lord had said. So it's getting hard. Now, what do you mean? What is the word hard? It means to be make something rich, to bring a whole lot of dirt together and make a big like they made bricks in Egypt. And they bring them all together, bring the dirt, and pack it together and make it hard, hard. Bring things together and harden, harden. All kinds of things, make them very hard, 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 hard. And thus this means to enlarge quantity, quality, abundance, greatness, riches, glory, honor, hardness. To make something very, to bring something together of the same, and make it of the same kind, as it were, and be hard, hard, to make something, to make the pieces not be individually looked at, to get very hard. It is used in a positive way of our Lord. And the word glory is used, you'll find the glory, hard, hard, weight, weight, heavy. Remember the first place it's used in the Bible? Abraham was rich. That's the word, hard, rich, rich. That means he had lots of sheep and cattle and everything. And when you looked at Abraham, you would look out and see like vast plains of his animals. And you would say, Abraham is very rich. He is great in his greatness, in his quantity, in quality. He had riches. God, when we heap to God praise and honor, we pile it up, we bring to God, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And you're making God, honor God. It's getting big, hard, right, large, enlarged. It is greatness. Now, having said that, Pharaoh, each time God told them to let him go, he got hard and hard and hard. Each time the Lord did a miracle, they said no, and no, and no. Each time he told them something wonderful about who he was, they rejected it and rejected it and rejected it. What's happening? You're getting a big pile, and it's getting hard. And it isn't good hardness, that's glory. It's bad hardness. And so God pressed him, let my people go. And each time he did that, Pharaoh's heart got harder and harder and harder. Thus, if you would, while you're here still, over if you would, oh, Exodus chapter 9. Oh, in chapter 9, picking up, please, in verse 7. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead, and the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. Verse 34. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, after that wonderful exercise, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, he and his servants. Verse 35, and the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses. Chapter 10, verse 1, the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants. They're all of the same mindset, that I might show thee, these my signs before him. In other words, everything I do, here's the Apostle John writing, John 12, 37 in that. In the light of all the signs, in the light of all the words, in the light of all the wonderment and healings, and you still reject him. That's what you're reading here. God said, let me finish all my 10 plagues, even to the death of the firstborn, and even my last one, when I bury Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea. Let me do them to show how hard. God, how come you let so many things done? Why couldn't just a couple of miracles, a couple of things? It doesn't work. Signs and wonders don't work. They don't come together. They don't help at all in any way, shape, or form. So God, what do? Every time we hear and want to fix something, we don't fix it. And we don't fix it. We don't fix it. Pretty soon we don't care if it's ever fixed. Huh? We never want to fix it. We never want to change it. We never want to get our heart right. What's the heart for? It isn't for your children. It isn't for your marriage. It isn't for your work. It isn't for your friends. It isn't for your enemies. You're getting your heart right for your own selfish, if you may use the word, personal benefit. You want to have health. You want to be alive. That's why God made you. He didn't make you to stay dead. He made you to stay alive, to know the wonderful life of our Lord Jesus Christ in a most wonderful way. Therefore, if you would, chapter 11 and verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go. Hence, when he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. He's going to thrust you out. He's going to throw you out of Egypt. He's going to get so hard. Get so hard. You couldn't get, you'd get hard. Gets hard. A really a hard heart. You don't want to have a hard heart. You don't want to do that. Don't let your heart get like that. When you're out, you lose the softness, the tenderness, sensitivity. If you were, I can't speak for a rock, because I'm not a rock. But I don't think a rock, if I put a rock on a hot stove, would the rock yell out, ouch? Would it yell ouch? If I throw it to the ground, will the rock yell, oh? No. It's so hard. And when your heart gets hard, you get very insensitive to the right things. To what? Not to try to hang on to this flesh. In him dwelleth no good thing, our old flesh. The flesh shall not glory in my presence. No, I want to be able to learn to enjoy God. And that's what it's all about. And it isn't about anything in life. You can have power, position, possessions, all persons, wonderful, wonderful. But you need God. And when you have God, you've got it all. You got the whole ball of wax. You got the whole thing. And you can understand John writing. And Isaiah, he quotes it each time. God, what is the problem with people? They get their heart, hard, hardened. Because every time they have opportunity, just like they did in John chapter 12, this is the last time he's going to see them. He's going to go to the trials, the upper room, the trials, the garden, etc. He's going to do all of that. And no more multitude. No more. Your opportunity. Think of how many opportunities people have. You say, how come God lets you live so long? God lets so many things happen in your life. And you throw them away. Your heart gets hard. And you throw away the wonderful stuff that would make you be what you should be in a most wonderful way. The heart gets hard. Now, and now all of that, so you don't want that. You wanna make it, you want it all, you don't want to get your heart hard by being negative about God dealing with your head and heart to change your life. You don't want to be you with a new suit of clothes. You can keep the same old clothes. You want to be new inside. A new creature inside, newness inside, freshness inside. Who cares about stuff we get all caught up in? Stupid stuff. And we lose out in life. The enjoyment. How much of your world, of your little world, is going to end up in God's holy heaven? You counted on it. You counted on this. God said, do what you do here in the light of what it's going to translate and be transformed there. That's what you're looking for. That's the riches. That's what counts. And we lose out. I hate seeing hearts get hard. Now, in the light of that, time has gone. Wow. Over, if you would, please. We'll do it differently. Over to 1 Peter. And chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And you will note, I'm going to read, remember God just loves being who he is. And you can't enjoy being, another way to say it, You can't see any, you can't, you always see higher and more when you go lower. The lower you go, the more you see, and the better you see, and the higher you see. The more you realize that you are just you, aren't you? You're just you. No. And you're all grand. Don't get me. I wouldn't take away from your grandeur. But what on earth do you have that God wants that makes you different than 7 billion other people? Nothing. That's no offense. The lower you go, in me dwelleth no good thing. The better I see, the more I see, the clearer I see. Thus, quickly, 1 Peter 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Aha! No, God, remember what was the devil? The devil, Isaiah 14, 13, 14, 15. Isaiah, what did the devil want? He wanted to exalt himself up. And the more you go up, 1 Corinthians 10, when you go up high, beware, it's further down you're going to fall. And you're going to fall. So you climb Mount Everest, and you got a long way to fall down. You aren't going any higher than Mount Everest. You're done. You're going to go downhill. God humbles us to exalt us so that we are lifted up in his wonderful person. How so? As just a human, as a Mount Everest? No. You're lifted up as part of his wonderful being. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you become a child of God. You become a son of God. You enter the family of God. God is your Father. Emphasis over and over and over again. Do you understand? You learn to say, my Father! And you get it. And we see better. We go down. It isn't anything about us. It's everything about who he is and what he does for us. Therefore, verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Think of Psalm 32 in that. And David was humbled under the heavy hard hand of God came down on him like Pharaoh. Pharaoh was negative. David was positive. Pharaoh turned off God, and he got hard. David was repentant and understood his need, and David was exalted. What day? You got to go down to come up. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. So God, I don't want to be humbled. And you know, I every time I bring it up, I forget to bring my shirt out. I have that Patriot shirt, you know, someone gave me back then. We need to eat humble pie. You remember that sweatshirt, T-shirt? We need to eat humble pie. Humble pie. And I've shared that with you of all the different desserts. The most wonderful dessert of all is humble pie. There's more nutrients in it, more wonder in it, and you'll never get sick of it. And the more you're humbled, the more you want to be humbled. By that I mean we aren't asking to get understand our stupidities. We have enough of them. We have things we do. We drop things and we make mistakes, and we fall down, and we have all of the different things we do that helps us understand we're human. And cursed be the man or woman, boy or girl that trusts in a man. Cursed be that person. So God, I got it. So God, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And to do so without worrying, verse 7, 5 and 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you, without worrying, without fearing, the devil's going to ground, do what he does, to get your worries, your anxieties, your cares, your all our different thoughts about things that aren't correct. And God, we need to correct them. We line them up with your thoughts, your thinking. So it isn't without want, without worry, without winning. We don't need to win. We already won. No? If you've already won, and you hold the trophy up, do you need to win it? Do you need to win? You already what? You already are winners. Without winning, you aren't trying to win. You've already won. And ever going to pray, God make it. You already did it. You already have it. And you're supposed to be thankful, receiving. You're already, if you're saved, aren't you already a child of God? Are you trying to be one? You're trying to be a son? God makes you a son. That's why you can be a son. Whoa. So now, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. And God, you're going to have to go. And that which brings us low, down, that which makes us low, God, that's what we want. I don't want to get hard. I don't want to get hard. I don't want to get, God, I want your hand pressing down on me. And I don't want to be like Pharaoh and react to my circumstances, to my conditions, my feelings, my fears, my family. You don't protect, you don't help anybody. You want to help your children, help your family, help yourself first. Remember the airline thing, isn't it? Still, until they make a new one. You know, when the yellow thing comes down, whoosh, drops out of the sky, that's before you crash, you take that onto you so you have enough oxygen. Anyway, I'm just kidding. And you put that, and it says what? Put that on your face last. Go up and down the plane to make sure everyone's dressed. No, if you don't put it on your face, no one else, you aren't going to help anybody else. Start with yourself. Take heed unto thyself. Always unto thyself. Always unto thyself. And God, you do a wonderful thing. And that's what you want in your life. God, do that kind of thing in our little life and help us. I wish I could do better for you. Hardness is such an awful thing. So God, I want all the things in my life to help me. I don't mind getting a cold. Every 2 or 3 years I get a cold like this. It reminds me I'm in a body. And I'd like not to have to do that, you know. Who wants to take NyQuil anyway? You know. But hey, I don't mind. I don't. My eyes, whatever, who cares? God, we just want what you want. That's all we want, God. As children bring their broken toys with tears for us to mend, and I brought my broken dreams to God because he was my friend. But then, instead of leaving him in peace to work alone, I hung around and tried to help with ways that were my own. At last, I snatched them back and cried, "How can you be so slow?" "My child," he said, "what could I do? You never did let go. You never did let go. You told me about all your things, but you never let them go. You kept them. My needs, my heartache, and I kept them. God, hear. My prayer. God, hear. I don't leave it with God. And when I don't leave it with God, I got a problem. So God, it's a wonderful thing to be saved. God, I want to grow in it. So all things work together for good, Romans 8:28. God, I want it to work for good. I don't want it to work for bad. I want to grow. I want to enjoy being a super alive. Don't you want to do that? Super alive. I don't want to just be alive. You know, don't you want to enjoy life? Enjoy the cough, enjoy the flu, enjoy whatever it is. And you live through it, and you win through it. And it doesn't matter what you do or have. If God, if you're happy, and I'm happy with you because you've done so much for me. God, I owe you. I owe you forever. Wow. Wow. And I said, and John said, how is it that they had all these wonderful miracles and signs and all of these wonderful words and they didn't believe? Opportunity after opportunity to grow and to know, to fix things in their life, and they never did them. They never did them. Wow. It's like singing that little hymn we do. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. And that's part of the problem, isn't it? We sing it, and where are the showers of blessing? Showers of blessing, showers of... Where are they? And take that and multiply it 1,000 different ways, and that's what happens to our heart. It gets dull and down, and we lose the zest and the wonderment of just being alive. And we try to justify and figure out everything, and we waste our time, but we don't know it yet. God, help us to know it. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. God, you want me to enjoy you. You want us to enjoy you, to know you and honor you and love you, and you to be our wonderful God at work, at home, at school, family, friends, hard, easy. That's right. That's right. That's so simple, God. Like Isaiah, before they call, I will answer. And before they open their mouth, I already heard them. That's my Father, your Father. Can't beat him. No. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness and all that you do and have done. God, we thank you for the little bit. Help us as we bumble along. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much for what you're doing and how you do it. God, we want to learn. The crowd doesn't want to know. I don't want to be with the crowd. I don't want to fit in. I don't want to fit in. We don't want to fit in anywhere except to be properly placed in your wonderful presence in the person of Jesus Christ. And our God, we're going to thank you very much for that with all our heart. In Christ's name, amen. Would you now go? That was the cough that had to come at the end.